This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Shivalga Lang is sponsored by The Cleveland Clinic, Island Pay, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and Scotia Bank.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So sorry for the late start, no technical difficulties, but so glad you could join us today. You can, of course, call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, the way my mother listens to the show, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So today, people are calling for the removal of value-added tax on breadbasket items. The opposition in particular is calling for this removal. The Minister of Economic Affairs says, well, you know, as a political item, that certainly sounds good to say, but he indicates that all the advice that they were given says that it's better to have a low rate and avoid exemptions. And I can tell you that that is absolutely true. That is the advice that commonly is given. There's no question about that, okay? So the minister is absolutely correct. If you ask the experts how to do it, the people who have been in the value-added tax business a long time, that's what they suggest. Nonetheless, he also indicated it sounds like a politically sexy something to say, and it's true. I mean, if you tell people, listen, man, take VAT off of bread basket items, that can't but sound good. Can't but sound good. So people will definitely want to hear that. Now, I would like, though, to do something for you today. Let's see if we did that, what it would mean. Let's see if we did that, what it would mean. Take the VAT off the bread basket items. Okay. So let's suppose that a family of four, two adults, two children, let's say they spend $800 a month on groceries, and that's $200 a week. That's easy to be spent for a family of four in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Easy. Shivago Show Online can tell you that's easy to be done. So I'm being modest. Don't get caught up in the number. Let's look at the exercise. $800 a month. That's $200 a week. Now, what you have to ask yourself is, what percentage of $800 would represent spending on bread basket items, bread and rice and them kind of thing? Remember, bread basket items only account for 13 of all the items of the thousands of items in the store. Can I say it again? Bread basket items are only 13 of the thousands of items you buy from a store. 13. So by my own personal experience and my own anecdotal calculations, bread basket items do not account for more than 20% of a person's overall spending for groceries. So that means, of the $800 spent a month, $149 or thereabouts is going to be spent on bread basket items. $148 $1.57 out of the $800 spent. Remember now, breadbasket items prior to the new administration coming into office and reducing VAT from 12 to 10%. Breadbasket, these breadbasket items did not have VAT charged to it. So therefore, you did not pay anything in value-added tax on that $148.47. But now there is a 10% charge on breadbasket items. So now what do you pay of that $800 spent, $148.57 of which represents breadbasket items? You pay $14.86. That's what you pay, $14.86. And so remember, the government at the same time reduced VAT from 12% to 10% on all the other items. So of your $651.43 remaining that you've spent, the government reduced the amount of VAT you would pay on that from 12% to 10%, or by a 2 percentage points. Remember, I didn't say by 2%, I said by 2 percentage points. That means that each percent is a percentage, 2 percentage points. That therefore means that you will pay, you will save $13.03 on your $651.43. So on the one hand, the government, you gave the government $14.86, that's on the breadbasket items. And on the other hand, you saved $13.03 that you would ordinarily have had to pay had the VAT not been reduced. So what is the net situation to this household from this? It means that in the net, given what the government has done, you pay $1.83. One, that's the VAT you pay after you spent $800, given the savings and given the new expenditure on breadbasket items, you give the government $1.83. So there's no question that the cost to you on the VAT on the breadbasket item added is more than you save. But the amount that you save, one might call marginal. Of an $800 expenditure, of an $800 expenditure, that amount is $1.83. On a $1,600 expenditure, that would be about $3 and something cents. Okay? You need me to do that exercise again? Do you understand it? If you don't understand it, let me know. I don't want to move on until you get it. Tech says, can you identify what are bread basket items? I don't know that I know all 13 of them, but I know some of them. Rice is one, flour is one. What else is there? Is corned beef one of them too? Corned beef and stuff like that. One of them, oil is one of them. So these bread basket items are the items that are treated as where you the control price control items. So they are here. They are butter, cooking oil, mayonnaise, grits, cheese, corned beef, evaporated milk, what we call cream, margarine, rice, flour, bread, tomato paste, baby cereal, baby formula, soup, broths, baby food, powdered detergent, condensed milk, soaps, condensed milk is sweet cream, by the way, soaps, and fresh milk and mustard. Okay, one more time. Butter, cooking oil, mayonnaise, grits, cheese, corned beef, evaporated milk, margarine, rice, flour, bread, tomato paste, baby cereal, baby formula, soup, broths, baby food, powdered detergents, condensed milk, soaps, fresh milk, mustard. I could give you all the price of practically all of them. The butter, if you buy in Kerrygold, that's $2.99. The cooking oil, depending on the size you get, let's say we get a small size of that, can cost you about $2 and something cents, right? So we just spend about $6. Mayonnaise can cost you about $3 and something cents, maybe more. So we just spend about $9. The grits can cost you about $2 and something cents. So we have to $12 now. Cheese can cost you an arm and a leg, but you might spend about $3-$4 on cheese. So now we at $16. Your corned beef can cost you about $2.99. So now we have to about $19. The evaporated milk can cost you $1 something. You can buy 2 cans of that or more. You know, that can cost you about $3-$4. So now we up to $24. Your margarine can cost you almost $3. That can cost you now $27. And the rice can cost you for a 5-pound bag. You can pay, but these days you can pay almost $4 for something for that. So that's got to be up to $30. You got the flour, it can cost you $3 something, maybe less, depending on which brand you get. So now we up to $37, and the bread can cost you about $2.99, maybe more, $3 something, depending if you get wheat bread. So we up to now maybe $40. Your tomato paste can cost you $1 something a can. You can buy 1 or 2 cans of that. So now we up to $40 something. The baby cereal, I've been on that business for a little while. The baby formula for a little while. They around about $5, $6, $7 or something like that. Those soup and broths can cost you about $1 something. Maybe $2 something, depending on the size you get. The baby food, been on that business a little while. Powder, detergent, they're expensive. You can buy one of them. You can pay for 12 something for a box of them, if not more. Condensed milk can cost you about $1 something, $2 and something cents. Soaps, well, I don't do soaps. I just do the liquid, you know, the liquid one, right? But a soap, soap can cost you about, I don't know, $2 and something cents. And the fresh milk can cost you about $6.99 for a gallon. And your mustard can cost you about $3 and something cents, depending on the size you get. That is there going to be like $60 or something like that when you can spend the $200 and $300 on the food store for you and your couple of children and what have you. So I hope you get your answer to the bread basket items. As Tech says, you also save the VAT on all the other services goods. We are paying 12% VAT on. Yeah, absolutely. But you're absolutely right. There are the other services you get to save the VAT on, but I was explaining expressly with respect to food. So in the net, you pointing that out means, yes, you save more. Because remember now, you just paid on an $800 bill, $1.80 something. $1.80 something. Prior to that, you were going to be paying prior to that you would have been paying the government $78.17 on that $651, right? Instead, you saved $13.03 and what have you. So in the net, you're better off with the 10% reduction for sure, even though the government does get a gain to itself from the bread basket items, but it isn't going to cover all of the other things that's there. All right. So the call for removing the VAT on the bread basket items, again, it does sound wonderful to anyone who thinks they are under economic hardship, financial hardship, but honestly speaking, it is not a material difference for anyone's economic and financial circumstances, even though, you know, anyone wants to save whatever they could save. You know, you want to do so. Anybody wants to save whatever they could save, right? So I never argue with somebody wanting to save what they could save. But to suggest that this is going to be material to somebody's financial circumstances in any way, especially given the percentage breadbasket items represents of the overall spending of people, it's not going to be material. It really isn't. Does that mean you don't call for it? Well, if you could call for it, why not? Why wouldn't the opposition call for it when in office they had taken it off, right? So it would be inconsistent of the opposition not to call for it to be off, because their policy was clearly to have it off, okay? This government has a different policy. I am only indicating that from a financial impact point of view, that it is marginal. Marginal. In other words, on an $800 bill, if the government took it off, what would happen is you would save, given the reduction in VAT from 12 to 10%, you would save $1.83. That's what you would save. Right? That's what you would save. You'd save $1.83 on $800. All right? Now, don't forget that prior to now, you were paying 12% on everything else. So if somebody wanted to argue back at the opposition, they would argue, well, you added a 12% on all the other things, and now you are calling for this to be put taken off of breadbasket items, which would save somebody on $800, $1.83, when in fact they'd be paying you more on all the other things that they're now paying less on. So somebody could argue that if they wanted to be the devil's advocate. All right? So I, as a fundamental economic point, it wouldn't be something that I would get excited about knowing the whole story as I know it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break. Take a stand. Take a stand.
Everybody. Is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, then chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns like 14.76%. With our International Equity Subfund, get access to U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without the red tape through our suite of internationally invested funds. Ready to set sail into the international markets? Then contact RF at invest@rfgroup.com to get started. RF. Money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk. quality.
Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We were talking initially about the call for removing the exemption. Removing the VAT on breadbasket items. Again, let me be clear, because I know how some of y'all are. Y'all are very politically tied and connected and partisan, and so you run to the opposition and say, Shivago say, y'all ain't making no sense, blah, 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 and blah. Shivago ain't say that. I believe I've said very clearly that if you're the opposition calling for the removal of VAT on breadbasket items would be quite appropriate for you, since that was your policy while you were in office. To do otherwise would be foolish, okay? But I did indicate that if you look at the numbers, the net spend caused by the removal of the 2 percentage point on the VAT on all the other items, food items, grocery items, and the 10% on the breadbasket items, given the percentage of a person's spend, family spend, breadbasket items represent, then I said the net payout is about $1.83. Now, obviously, if you go to the food store and only spend on bread basket items, and let's say you spend $60, and that's possible on bread basket items, then you are going to pay the government $6 where you didn't have to pay $6 before. That is for you a pain. There's no question about that. So for poorer people, there is no question that their spend on breadbasket items could be disproportionate to what the normal distribution of spend on food items is for people, and that they therefore would be more disadvantaged than my example showed. So again, calling for the removal of that tax on them would make good sense for those people who are so disadvantaged. There's no question about that. All right. This text says, Mr. Lang, all this talk about revenue and no one is thinking about having the idea of government-run business like a public transport service similar to an Amtrak. I don't know if they have those, but if they don't, they should. If they do, they should have more. Why? If they have, but you know the government doesn't have an Amtrak. You know the Bahamas doesn't have a public transport system. So why, other than the private jitney system or whatever, so why would you even doubt that exists? Now, secondly, you could say the government could look into that, but why do you say the government should? Do you know that there is not and has not been a profitable railroad system in the United States of America? That they're owned by the government, those ones you're talking about, and they represent an operating loss, and that the taxpayers of the United States of America pay for that loss. So why would you now be recommending that the government goes into that kind of business? Why? Do you know a profitable business that the government runs other than the monopoly that it ran in BTC and BPL for a time? Monopoly, right? But I'm not sure that's the answer to the query. So there are many, many things to consider when you look at these things. This text says, my brother, great explanation of VAT. I try to do the same with some people, but they are just about politics. 10% saves money. Also, it is easier to calculate, laugh out loud. People are saving. They just don't understand. And some know the truth, but just like to cause confusion for their benefit. Well, we can have our views, that's for sure. We have our views for sure. Says, but powder detergent and baby formula at around the same price, 12 to 18, and that's a small can. I've been in the baby business for a long time, right? So I don't know. Buying detergent, I do that. Say, lying nonsense with VAT on medication, man, totally inhumane. Okay. All right. So Mr. Lang, the person who subsists on bread basket items only, is spending 10% more on his food. Simple. I said that though. But I said that, right? So what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean? That's saying that clearly is a challenge for them. But do you know that they are only buying food? That's somebody could live and that's only be they're basically just only buying food. They're not buying anything else in the society where the VAT has been reduced from 12 to 10%, right? And so I'm not denying your point. I made the same point. All I'm saying, though, is that you have to look at the whole situation and what happens in this country. And let me tell you all something. And some of you are going to get mad with me. You know what? Let me let you wait to get mad at me after we... See, because we were a little late, I want to make sure we pay our responses to the respect they do. Producer, let's go to the break, and we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Show, they playing your music as my intro. I'm not afraid anymore. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We have a text here. The text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good show. More money is spent on food than anything else. So adding 10% on bread, basket items, medication, feminine products, baby formula, Pampers, and Depends, etc. First of all, let me correct you. You are not right. That's not true. More money is not spent on food. I'm sorry, that's absolutely not right. The Department of Statistics did a household expenditure survey, and most people who know budgeting, household budgeting, knows that that's not so. First of all, you spend more on housing than you spend on anything else, okay? So let's be clear on that. So you spend more on housing, and then food comes in around there, transport, and so forth, right? So it's not true that you spend more on food. The poorer segment of the population certainly spends a disproportionate amount on food than anything else, okay? So it has put a strain on the lower income earners because lowering the VAT on other items do not add up as other items are not essential on a day-to-day basis. The government will collect more VAT now because of the VAT on the everyday purchases. People have to eat, feed the babies, and so on. Well, again, this depends on who you are in the society, and that's why I'm going to make a point that I'm going to make soon. It says, after all, we don't buy cars, furniture, even kitchen utensils, clothes, shoes every day. I don't see it adding up. I spent $107 and came out with one grocery bag. Nurse, but you're spending $107. Most of that was in bread basket items. And so even if $107 was bread basket items, then you spent, in VAT $10.70. So the balance of 90 something dollars was what the food store charged you. So it's not a question of the VAT. It's a question of the cost of the food, right? So let's make sure we put it in some perspective, right? And not distort the story. Let me tell you something. I am, in quote, a bleeding heart liberal. That's the word that's normally used of Democrats in the United States of America, where you try to make the whole world about the poor, all right? There are other people in our society, other classes of people in our society. By that, I mean people with other economic status. If you, as a finance minister, only develop policies based on a consideration of the poor, you will not have any taxation at all. Okay, you won't, because every day you will say, oh, that's going to hurt the poor. That's going to hurt the poor. That's going to hurt the poor, right? We cannot see our society like that. We ourselves don't live like that. We don't walk around. I see poor people on the streets regularly, et cetera, and I don't see too many people attending to them, right? Why? Because when it's sometimes politic to talk about the poor, that's what we do. But the poor make up a segment of our population, and God knows they need the help they get. But there are middle-income people, there are upper-income people, and all of them pay taxes, because the poor will not pay as much in taxes because they're not spending as much. They cannot spend as much as the middle-income and the rich, right? So you can't just think about this in narrower terms. And it doesn't matter how we try to write this book. We could try to write it however we want. The fact of the matter is that if you took the VAT off of the breadbasket items, there's no question. If you save one nickel, you'd be a happy soul, maybe. But in terms of material impact, to try to suggest that this is so phenomenal is to simply believe a delusion, because it is not so, and it will not be so. You take that off, and those poor people will still be struggling. Having saved $4, mind you, and I'm not suggesting $4 saving ain't a bad thing, but they'll still be struggling. And does that mean the government shouldn't do it? Well, what it means is, if the advice being given by all the experts, and see, you kind of have your cake and eat it too. You want to listen to the experts when the pandemic is happening, but then you don't want to listen to them when it comes to economic and other matters, right? The people who understand this thing understand the administrative distortions. They understand some of the complications that get tied into when you try to have these exemptions and all that kind of stuff. And so that's why they try to avoid it. All right? This isn't a Bahamas invention. Right? And so that those are the considerations that have to go in the pot. But if you're a politician and you're pushing this because you think it sense for your policy and for your politics, I can understand that. But you can have a hard time, in as much as I love you all, you can have a hard time trying to convince your Chicago line that this is a material benefit in any significant way to change the landscape for the poor in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas in any meaningful way. They have a hard time trying to convince me of that, right? Texas, I was saying, like public transport, for example, I wasn't suggesting an Amtrak. Also, I do know a business that makes money. The government can get into finance and tourism. Man, come on. It's not like they would care if they break even or sit at a loss, because that's normal, really. Really, you know that every time the government takes a loss on a business, that it eats into the deficit, right? And then increases the national debt. You realize that, right? Because it has to subvent the failing business. You realize they won't try to make a profit necessarily, but the thing has to sustain itself if it isn't going to hit the public purse that way. But, you know, so your thought. So, when we look at how expenditure is distributed, you have housing, you have food, you have transport, you have communication, you have furnishings and household needs and stuff, education and healthcare and so forth, and all of them become a part of it. Now, here's what is true though. When you add up all of those other things, you get about 37% of your expenditure in all those other things. Well, that represents a 2 percentage point decrease on what you would have paid VAT on for those things. And that has to matter in the scheme of things if you don't just talk about the country as if everyone in the country is poor. It's simply not true. Okay? And even when you look in this Commonwealth of the Bahamas, I tell you, you have to be careful when you're talking about the poor, because we are the best dressed, best looking, most partying poor people on planet Earth. If I lie, somebody quote text me and say I lie. I lie, brother Juan. Are we not the best looking, most partying, most beer drinking, cigarette smoking, poor people on planet Earth? You know, any poor people on planet Earth look better than Mayans? Try better than Mayans? Dress better? Huh? Eat better. I saw a fella telling me the other day, man, he's so broke. Man, like, buy him a dinner. He want me to buy him a $15 dinner. He wouldn't think, okay, language, if you give me that $15, I could go to the grocery store and I could probably buy enough to make me 3, 4, 5 dinners. No. In his head, I should just go on a $15 dinner for him. We have to be real and about some of these things, right? And so, again, don't run to nobody and tell them, I say, don't take the bread exemption off because it don't make no sense. I said it wouldn't make a significant material difference, not financial. Now, at the most extreme end of the low income, you could have a couple dollars more for sure. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down. Can't quit your shit.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp us on 439-3043. Okay. Now, please, for a moment, forget that we are talking about taking a VAT off of bread basket items. That's for the moment for that, okay? By the way, so you know, here are the VAT-free medication. These are the VAT-free medication. And these were, these were the VAT-free medication in August of 2008. Antibacterial ointment, anti-chafing ointment, antifungal ointment, anti-itch medication, anti-nausea medication, aspirin, eye air, nose truth, gels, cough, cold, and allergy, fluid replacements, heartburn and indigestion, hemorrhoid medication, pain and anti-inflammatory ointments and gels, pain and fever reduction, peroxide, rubbing alcohol, soaking salts, stool softeners and laxatives, and all prescription medication. If the government is making a great deal of new money from VAT, they're making it from the additional VAT on them items. I can tell you that, not on the food. They're making it on them items because that's a whole lot of stuff people use regularly in this country. I can tell you that, okay? We're talking about removing the VAT off of bread basket items. Let's look at these bread basket items. Let's look at them, right? And these became bread basket items because typically this was what the Haymans for ages were having as staple inclusions in their diet, right? Staple inclusions. And that included butter. Now, I can tell you, I know that I'm a Kerrygold person. I love to cook with Kerrygold. They say if you're going to go and do some of that, you should really use real butter, but you still have to be moderate in your usage of the butter, right? You got the white bread or the bread, right? And you have these brats, you know, the brats in the can, which require a lot of salt for preservation, right? And you have your cheese, which have your cholesterol issues associated with that. So you gotta have that in some moderation too, right? And then you have your condensed milk, right? Like I wanna ask, and so please, let me give you the number to text or call once again, 323-6222, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259. You can text at 422-4796 or 439-3043. So I'm asking you, what is it about sweet cream that makes it a bread basket item now in this world? What is it that we do with sweet cream that should make it a staple, something for people to have? And somebody text me and tell me before I move on. Sweet cream now. I like sweet cream, so don't get me wrong. Like, I like to use sweet cream in, right, the jelly. But I'm saying that that's an indulging for me, right? That's not, I'm doing the healthiest thing for myself. Why sweet cream? Why is sweet cream something we should have as a bread basket item subsidized for buying? Why? Somebody tell me, please. And I'm just asking. I'm really asking. I'm just trying to find out. Somebody tell me. Let me see if I got an answer here. There's... Hi, Mr. Lang. There's no reason to revisit the VAT rate on so-called bread basket items. Most people don't realize most of the bread basket items are used in restaurants that enjoy significant savings. By not paying VAT on these supplies, we need to do some critical thinking about it, and we would understand it clearly. Now, I have heard that argument. I've heard that. You know, the restaurants benefited significantly from that. So here is what I hear in that argument. If you do something that helps the poor, you shouldn't do it because it also helps the rich. Now, given that it's a flat rate, that the restaurants are buying more of it gives you more VAT for sure. But if they can afford it more, then the truth is the poor who can afford it least get the greater help when the help is there. So taxing policy, when it's regressive, you can't make the argument only that, the rich gonna benefit more from it in this kind of way, simply because they're gonna end up paying you more because they buy more of it. This is a restaurant. Right? So the restaurant needs this product and they therefore buy it and therefore do not, you take the VAT off of it, they get the benefit of that. How is that different than all of the duty-free exemptions that the hotels get for bringing in their stuff through the Hotel Encouragement Act, or the manufacturers get for bringing in their stuff through the Industries Encouragement Act, et cetera. They're all exemptions that are afforded to them for their operations. But now a restaurant, which caters to your tourists, just like the hotels, and caters to your citizens, just like the manufacturers, get an exemption because you gave the exemption to the poor, and the argument becomes you shouldn't do it because the restaurants benefit more from it, benefit from it too. I'm sorry, I don't get that. Now, I heard the financial secretary say he didn't make that argument. What the financial secretary said was you're going to get more from the VAT because the restaurants use a lot of these breadbasket items. That's fair. That's what has happened. So he's pointing out what has happened. But to make this argument that the restaurants buy a lot of this and therefore that's why it shouldn't be done for the poor. Well, let me give you, let's do this then. When the rich come into the Bahamas, the rich Bahamians who spent more than $500 abroad, they get the $500 exemption too. So does the not so rich person. Why don't we take that exemption away? In our regressive tax environment, we can't make them kinds of arguments. Because if you are interested in making the system more equitable, it is not by taking a benefit away from the poor, providing for a progressive system. That's what you do. You don't deprive the poor because you say the rich also benefit from it. The rich pay taxes. And I want to say this again. Rich people, middle-income people in the Bahamas pay taxes. Why do we treat them like they shouldn't matter, that they shouldn't get a benefit the state provides? I remember during the Great Recession telling some middle-income people who had come into hard times and who had lost their jobs, you shouldn't feel embarrassed to go and apply to NIB or to social services for the assistance your taxpayer money paid for to be available to you when times get tough for you. Now, I understand the pride and ego that comes in with wanting to do that. I understand that because you're used to paying your for yourself. You're used to making your own way. But that money that social services gives out, NIB gives out, that is not charity. That is taxpayer-funded social safety net to be there for. That's why it's called a safety net. Because you pay into it for when you fall. Where does the money from social services come from? If you are unemployed, you pay less in taxes than somebody who's employed, been working for years and years and years, never calling on the system. It comes from them. So stop discounting the rich, stop discounting the middle income simply because you only want to focus on the poor. How about you treat the poor like a citizen, treat the middle income like a citizen, treat the rich like a citizen, and treat the taxpayers like they pay taxes and can benefit from your system if the provision allows. Texas, you have a point. The hotels also contribute to the employment of persons, which is the intended effect of the Hotel Encouragement Act. But so the restaurants? Restaurants hire a boogie load of people. Right? They hire a boogie load of people. Why all of a sudden they're being, hey, you're doing something wrong? Really? Now, first of all, let me ask you, let's be clear now. I know restaurants are buying butter. Right? I know restaurants are buying butter. I know restaurants are buying bread. Some restaurants are buying broth. Me, I don't buy broth because I'm a Bahamian. I can make my own broth. And I make a better broth than the broth that's in the cans, right? I know restaurants buy cheese. You think the restaurant's buying all this condensed milk? I know they buy evaporated milk, yes. And I know they buy fresh milk and grits and mayonnaise. I know, but the margarine. Tomato paste, yes. The restaurants buying the powdered detergents. Are the restaurants buying the baby cereal? Are the restaurants buying the baby formula? Are the restaurants buying the baby food? How many restaurants in the mom is selling the corned beef? Yes, Comfort Suite, Bahama. I know they pay for cooking oil. How many of them up there selling the tuna in the can? And the sardine in the can? I know they buying the flour and the rice and mustard. How many of them buying Campbell's soup? I mean, come on, man. Right, let's be real. We have a text here, says, great show, as always, so very informative and direct. Man, I only know one way to communicate, man, direct. Sometimes it can come across a little bad. I'm sorry about that, right? I mean, I don't mean no harm by it, but it sometimes just, it kind of makes the point. you know, but I'm learning, right? I'm learning, I'm trying to get better at it, right? This text says, Mr. Lang, correct me if I'm wrong, but the same breadbasket items that were VAT-free were some of the same items that Dr. Sand said in 2019 we should eat less of because we are obese and not good for you. It's true. That's what he said. It is very true. That's what he said. That's why I'm going over to this in a minute. That there was a campaign by many of them. You making some awesome points with VAT. Thank you. That's why I'm going over the items, right? So I haven't had a text yet to tell me what is it about condensed milk that it should be treated as a special something deserving of price control and you know, duty of VAT-free freedom. Evaporated milk, that's cream, but listen, I have to personally argue for evaporated milk, but that probably has too much cholesterol and fat in it too. And so, you know, but I use it for my cereals. I don't use milk. I don't like cold milk and cereal. And I use it for my hot chocolate and tea. Those are the only, well, and of course, for some cooking items, you know, for some cooking things I do. Fresh milk, yeah. I don't drink milk, but lots of people drink milk. So, you know, I could see fresh milk. And grits, oh, we can have some grits. But, you know, we all have to reduce our these bleached starch intake. But grits, yeah, I can't argue grits. Mayonnaise! Why should mayonnaise be a special item on a bread basket list? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Everything's good. Now, let me start off since you say mayonnaise just now. Mayonnaise, some poor people, that's only get out for dinner tonight. You could have mayonnaise on bread with some ketchup. They ain't eat no meat. But now with the condensed milk, you have a hard cereal but no cream and only hard sugar. Condensed milk could be used as the milk and sugar in one. You understand?
You know, I know, but that's not. But I'm saying that's not good for you.
Guess what? Mm-hmm. If you realize the foods that are good for you are very expensive, and only the rich can afford them. The poor man only can survive on a belly full. Sometimes condensed milk and a piece of bread.
I could tell you this much, I would guarantee you, you have never really done any serious look at the statement you just made. I could guarantee you have not.
I could guarantee you I did.
Really now? Really?
Yeah.
So you're telling me to have a salad every day made up of lettuce, tomatoes, and onions is too expensive for an average person.
Yes, sir. You know why? Because the type of lettuce which we're supposed to be eating is the romaine lettuce, the iceberg lettuce for animals.
You can eat either. You can eat either because the iceberg lettuce is mostly
I guess the romaine lettuce better, right?
No, but there's lots of things that's better, but that doesn't mean you don't have a substitute, though.
But I'm trying to show you that to get the good stuff is expensive.
I'm not saying some of it isn't expensive, but I am telling you the research suggests that what you are saying is not altogether true. Because let me tell you why. When you pump all this poor, cheaper food into your system, you give yourself health issues. The cost of your health issues is going to make you pay down the line as opposed to the to the upfront core investment you make in your health.
Hey, guess what? I agree with you 1,000% on that, right? But guess what? If I could afford a can of sweet milk and a loaf of bread versus a head of lettuce would cost almost $7, right? And I spend almost $7 for that bread and a sweet milk or a box of cereal. And I can have a couple meals out of that. But I gain for the box of cereal and the condensed milk.
I agree with you. And I agree with you that that might be where some people is. But let's not use the margins to describe it. You and I both know the majority of even poor people in the Bahamas is not doing that. They're going right down there to these fast food restaurants and other places and eating regularly.
Hey, guess what? That's the truth. That's the truth. But guess what? When I could get me, and I don't agree with that one bit, because guess what? You, like you say, on the back end, you can pay the doctor. You can pay the doctor.
Right.
So you're advising how to try and invest, anyone invest in their health and get food that is good for you, that won't stand in the hospital in the long run.
But I'm even saying beyond even investing in your health, I'm just looking at our practice, right? Let's be real. The very, very poorest among us, they are somewhere and they struggle tremendously and have to make sweet cream with bread work for them. But you and I both know that lower income peoples in this country are spending money at fast food restaurant at pace that middle income and upper income people are not spending their money.
Exactly. They spend on wigs and all. Don't forget that.
Exactly. So they're not spending this on their so much on bread basket items and sweet cream and mayonnaise. Because but guess what they do? They get the mayonnaise to put on the cracker.
Exactly. Exactly. But all I tell you, that's what you use sweet milk for. That's what I really call it.
No, listen, my brother, you don't get me to argue against sweet milk as something desirable. My point is to you is, why do we treat it like a special something, though? In point of fact, is it truly the product of the poor now? Is it really? Seriously? Sweet milk?
Boy, leaving me that's a luxury item. You leave it up to me.
Exactly. Exactly my point. It is a luxury item now because it ain't inexpensive, eh?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you calling. Appreciate your call. But so mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, man. Who can make the case for mayonnaise now? I didn't say you don't like mayonnaise. I'm saying, but who making the case for mayonnaise being something to be treated with specialness that we shouldn't, that it should be a breadbasket item on price control? Mayonnaise? Seriously? Really? Margarine? Margarine, folk? Really? We should have margarine treated as a special item. Tomato paste? Okay. Tomato paste forms the base of most of our eating, and so our cooking. You know what I mean. So we love to steam stuff. So I could see why, you know, I don't say it should be a bread basket item, but I could see why you might consider it. Powdered detergent. Well, you need detergent, right? So okay, I'm not gonna argue about detergent. Baby cereal. Yes, I could see baby cereal because, you know, you're having babies. Poor need to take care of the baby, the middle income need to take care of the baby formula, and these can be expensive, no question about the baby food. Corned beef, I love corned beef, folk. Listen to me, I love up some corned beef, and y'all know y'all is scared. Oh, we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon, Chicago.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, yeah, listen, I wanted to chime in on this conversation because I think it's very important.
Okay.
I know bread basket items, it is similar to what our laws are. It's antiquated in a sense that it doesn't look at the current circumstances and the situations that the majority of Bahamians are eating today. And so obviously that needs to be updated to reflect the current circumstances that we live in our country.
I agree 100%.
But also, we also have to look at it from another perspective. While the majority of Bahamians may not be in a situation where poverty is at their doorsteps like a lot of others may have, the reality of the day-to-day survival is a struggle for the average Bahamian because the cost of living is ginormous, you know, for lack of a better word. I mean, when you look at the cost of gas and the cost of electricity, the cost of food in general, you know, and then when you look at it, I walked inside a store the other day and I saw a sign up saying a laborer needed $250 a week for 6 days a week. Now, pray tell me, 6 days a week for $250 a week, where would that person find the ability to prepare meals and have time for themselves, have time for their family, to be able to do anything of any meaning? And that is the challenge that a lot of Bahamians face. And so when you look at the challenges of what the salary is compared to what the cost of living, the enormous challenges that our Bahamian people are facing. And when you look at the fast food concept, the reason why a lot of Bahamians resort to fast food is because of the time constraints that they have when they get home and when they got to get to work and all this other stuff, which also contributes to the unhealthy scenario that we have in our country with regards to people getting sick and all that other stuff. You know how many people buying noodles and hot dogs every day trying to
survive? My friend, you make very articulate, clear points. You do. I concede you do, right? But I want to tell you something. First of all, remember, when you talk about the cost of living is not the same for everybody. Because every cost of living is attached to a style of living. Right? A style of living. So that...
However, though, I think in every... See, don't forget now, that in a vacuum would have been a statement that I could swallow very easily. But you're now looking at a scenario with economic loss for majority of people who aren't working. So a lot of people who would have had a cushion to be able to absorb the blow of the current circumstances would have been there. But now you're talking about people, in a sense, really have to just restart and start all over again based on the last 2 years of earning loss and mounting bills and all the other stuff. So you now compound the situation with the added bar on the breadbasket item. So it isn't just the fact that we can absorb it and we live in a different society now. The reality is we lost 2 years of earnings where we had bills mounting, people having to pay, you know, landlords and mortgages and all these other stuff. Now that they're just trying to catch themselves, you're now facing an inflationary scenario and along with a VAT hike. So there's a perfect storm scenario that the majority of Bahamians are facing. No, yet, I hear you.
I hear you. And there are people who certainly are in the scenario you're talking about, but that changes nothing about what I just said. There is a style of living that has updated with it. And you mentioned that there are people who don't have the time to... cook, so they therefore go to a fast food place. I dare say to you, that's not true. There are people who don't manage sometimes their affairs in a way where they can do preps for food early enough to make for cooking short time. And I had my sister by me, my niece by me recently. She said she wanted something to eat. And she was stunned that I was finished in about 20 minutes. You know why? Because I just make a batch of steam and keep it inside my fridge. I prepare my food in advance for certain things so that all I'm doing is cooking at the end of the day. So all I'm saying is it's not untrue what you say, but a great deal of what we are fighting for is to keep living a standard of living because we don't want to adjust ourselves to reflect our new realities.
But I beg to disagree, but I respect your view because I do respect you. But
I hear you too. I hear you fully. Okay? I hear you fully. I'm not saying everyone is in that bag. I think you are absolutely right that there are people who have been devastated economically by the pandemic and they now find themselves having to do a great deal of catching up, et cetera. I'm not arguing that is not the case at all. But what I am saying too, though, is every cost of living is attached to a style of living. If I am in the food store buying Cap'n Crunch and Rice Krispie, steak and rounds, if I'm in the food store buying hamburger, ground beef, if I'm in the food store buying... sweet drinks for my children and those kinds of stuff, then my cost is going to be higher than somebody who is being more conservative in what they choose. to eat. Maybe they don't get the ground beef, they stick to and what have you. So if I'm living in a place out west or out east that's costing me abundantly more than it might have cost me if I were living in Stapleton or someplace else, then I have made a choice about my cost. If I have my children in private school when I can't afford to keep them in private school, I have made a choice for my cost. I'm not saying you shouldn't want these things for yourself. I'm saying there's a price to be paid for that. And even though when the pandemic came, it hit you harder because of the choice you made before about how you wanted to live. So every standard and style of living has a cost associated with it. And that is not everyone's cost of living. That's yours. You're listening to Z Live and Survival. I'm your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, then chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns like 14.76% with our International Equity Subfund. Get access to U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without the red tape through our suite of internationally invested funds. Ready to set sail into the international markets? Then contact RF at invest@rfgroup.com to get started. RF. Money at work.
I bank wherever I want thanks to Scotia Online and Mobile. I bank from my garden. I bank from my living room. I also bank from my kitchen. No need to wait in line. Now when I bank with Scotia, I bank on my own time. Seniors, you too can bank your way any time of day without ever going into a branch. Find out more. To get started, visit bs.scotiabank.com/digital seniors.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Insurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Sent pics of the damage, filed my claim.
Oh, I don't think my insurance got that kind of app.
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Golang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call on these remaining moments of the show, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Do we still have a call on the line?
Yes, I'm right here.
Yes, so thank you for your patience. We appreciate it.
Do you mean me?
Yes, I mean you, sir.
Oh, good afternoon, Shivago, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Yes, sir. Yeah, hey.
Mr. Lang,
when I listen just now, when I hear you, I know you ain't saying this, but am I correct or wrong when you say, are you saying the choices we make is the reason why we should shut up and render unto Caesar what is belong to Caesar?
Not at all, Paul. I'm saying something entirely.
The choices we make is the reason why we
I'm saying however Papa chooses to live,
yes,
there is a cost associated with that.
Yeah.
And that cost could be low, medium, or high. But it's his choice.
It's my choice.
Yeah, true or not true? Do you not decide whether you have a quality?
That's right. You're right. Yeah. Before I forget what I wanted to say, do you know bread, meat, and rice on the bread basket item?
Not meat. Bread is on the bread basket item, and so is rice.
And so is rice. Baby cereal also?
Yes, baby cereal and baby formula and stuff, yeah.
Then the former government wanted to sue the gambling houses, not sue, go up on taxes for the winnings, for the house and the winner, or something like that. I think the web shop owners carried them to court. When the government changed, my new day government, I think they discontinued either the court case or on the taxes on them.
I think it's a fair win. Part of that story, not the whole story, no.
That's a part of the story, eh?
Yeah, the first part, I know that there was an effort by the former administration to go up on the winnings, and they were taken to court, and I think there was something that happened. I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, so Chia, and especially some of us who does gamble, didn't have a problem because the government was getting something back from it. You know, but this new good day government, I think they, like you say, it's more than that. But when I listen to the Minister of Economics, Minister Elkidis, it sounds like he's saying this bread basket item thing, this VAT on the medicine, the bread basket items and insurance, they ain't going to change it. What I want to ask you, because I know you're good in this field, one of the best we have in the country, or the best, Minister Lang, can you tell me what was the, I don't know if the word is rational, what was the reason why the former government, different from us making noise, crying about it, right, took the VAT off, the taxes off the bread basket items and the medicine and the insurance? And what is the reason why, I could be wrong, what I hear, I think I understand, you said no plans for either taking the VAT off the bread basket item at this time. We couldn't, like, get it off things where we could live without, like, smoking. Some people might say, well, they can't live without smoking, but I believe that we can live without smoking and drinking. We can't go up on the tax on that and maybe don't go on it, don't tax the bread basket items and add some more good things to the bread basket items, like grapes and nutrition and things what could help us, like you were talking about earlier, lettuce and salad and different things like that. I'll hang up and listen. You're doing a good job, Mr. Lang. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Pop. I appreciate your calling. Thanks, man. Well, the rationale for the former administration taking it off was, I think, clear. They wanted to provide a savings to the poorer members of the population. But don't forget that they were doing that at the same time as they were raising the VAT, right? So they took VAT from where it was, 7.5% or thereabouts, and took it to 12%, right? And then while they were doing that, they said, okay, but we're going to control by putting an exemption on bread basket items and medicines. And so they were trying to achieve a policy result that on the one hand hit your pocket and on the other hand didn't hit the pocket of the poor as hard, they would say. So that was the rationale there. This administration brought down the VAT, but faced the same realities that the former administration faced in the reverse, which was that I'm going to lose this revenue, but I need to do something to cushion the extent of the loss. And so I'm going to remove the exemption on bread basket items and other stuff. Under the rationale that having no exemptions create less distortions administratively and gives you better effect in terms of revenue earning. And you see that happening now. You see that the government's revenue from VAT is robustly growing because, you know, see, when you have no exemption, no one could file with you anything saying, well, we didn't collect this because there was an exemption on that. Because, you know, people could distort their reports. They could. Unless you audit them, they could distort it. But if I don't have any exemptions, then there are no exemptions to report. So pay me my money. And that's the idea behind no exemptions, is it creates a simplicity in administration. And that's one of the reasons why the value-added tax is so well regarded in the world, is because it's self-enforcing. Because the business person has an incentive to collect the government's tax and pay the government its tax, because it then means they don't have to pay any VAT. Remember, a VAT is not a tax on business. It's a tax on consumers. Business people don't pay no taxes unless they're not registered as a VAT registrant who is making more than $100,000 and paying any VAT on any stuff. Because once they make a VAT payment, they can redeem it against the VAT collections. Right? And so when there's simplicity in taxation, yield is better. When there's complications in taxation, yield is lower. That's why they talk about the IRS, the revenue system in America, where there's so many loopholes to get over on paying the government taxes. That's why they always are saying try to make it simpler. Right? And that's the rationale of the new administration in respect of it. But I think ultimately what it boiled down to was they didn't want to take that full hit on that loss from the 2 percentage point decrease. So they recouped some of it by extending the VAT, even though at a reduced rate, to the exempted items. All right? We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Golan. Do you want to take that caller, producer? We have another caller?
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lang, you're spot on. You're very spot on when you said that sometimes, or a lot of times, the decisions that we make in our lives determine the outcome of our situation. And you're very true with that, because I know a situation now with someone who they say that they're doing bad, right? They complain about the situation they're in, but yet they have their child in private school, and they pay private school fee, but yet they're struggling to make ends meet. So the decisions they made to put private school versus put it in government school, I mean, that's a set of money they can save. And when we look at the 12% VAT, right? I mean, like, I honestly, Mr. Lang, I'm happy that the government reduced the VAT to 10%, because I find that I save a whole lot more when it comes to paying the VAT on across the board on everything that I purchase on a weekly basis. Because for me to pay less 2% on everything that I purchase throughout the whole week, and the breadbasket I'm only accounts for probably like about 5% of the stuff I purchase on a weekly basis. I mean, like, I find myself saving a whole lot more versus if they had that VAT at 12% and take out the breadbasket item, take VAT off breadbasket item. I think I'd be paying a whole lot more than I pay now, seeing that they reduce everything now to 10% and just pay on the breadbasket items, the 10% on breadbasket items.
Yeah, there's that possibility. I'm glad you raised it, because remember when I used the example of 19% is spent on bread basket, your total spend, the lower that goes down, the more you save, the better off you are.
So if they put it back, if people trying to put bread basket, put everything back the way it was, you end up paying a whole lot more straight across the board, because some big ticket items you purchase, are you paying less 2% on that versus you paying the 12%? That bread basket is a joke.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling, man. Thanks
a
lot. All right, guy. We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Willang, your host.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
bank wherever I want thanks to Scotia Online and Mobile. I bank from my garden. I bank from my living room. I also bank from my kitchen. No need to wait. When I bank with Scotia, I bank on my own time. Seniors, you too can bank your way any time of day without ever going into a branch. Find out more. To get started, visit bs.scotiabank.com/digital seniors.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can share to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, these remaining moments of the show. We got a few texts here. Let me read. It says, afternoon, Shabab, condensed milk, mayo. Might replace them with lettuce, tomatoes, and apples, etc. Okay, I got you. I like the caller who indicated that, you know, that breadbasket item was created at a different time in the Bahamas. Really, I mean, we have become a different society than that. I mean, that if you want to time date some of our policies, you could time date that breadbasket list. Okay? Because I assure you, breadbasket connotes staple items in a daily routine, right? That's what it's supposed to. Are you suggesting to me that the staple eating of Bahamians today, I wonder if my mommy listening would say this, that a number of these things are still staple. Butter, bread, yes, milk and cream and grits and so forth and so forth, right? Well, actually, a lot of them still staple. I can't argue with them. Yes, they dated, but they still pretty staple. So yeah, I can't argue that, man. Can't argue that. All right, they still staple. The day they all the thing, you know, is outdated. But there are people who will tell you that there are some other items that have become staple for them and us because we have become a healthier eating society. So quite staple for us. You know what I mean? Like olive oil and coconut oil and stuff. For me, that's what I use. I use olive oil and coconut oil. I use the coconut oil to fry things. If I'm going to fry things at all, and olive oil I use for my regular salads and stuff like that. Or for like frying my eggs and stuff like that. That's why I use olive oil. You know, and it has made an enormous difference to my cholesterol level. Thank goodness for that. So we can revisit if we want to have. I honestly don't know yet about this breadbasket item price control in business. As an economist, I could tell you I have some issues with it, but I'm not going to die in the ditch on it, right? But I also agree with Pauper that we can look at replacing or placing taxes on different places to discourage consumption and removing it off of other encourage consumption. Now, that's a hard sell sometimes because these store owners don't cooperate with you. You give them the doggone, you cut the tax on things and the price don't change sometimes. And so what difference did it make to the consumer? And that's the whole point. It has to make a difference to the consumer, right? When you go into stores these days and you see some of the prices on some of them items, man, for goodness sake, it is something. So if you're going to get it, you got to buy a much smaller portion to be able to afford it. But you have to look at your, see, the government has to look at its its policies from the point of view of, can it have an effect? If I'm the government, listen to me, folks. If I'm the government, I am not doing any tax cut that isn't going to get to the public. I'm sorry, I might as well collect that money myself and pay social services, right? To give you some stamp tax or some vouchers to take you to food store. I'd much rather do that as a direct transfer than to give a cut that the business people pocket. See, remember now, a policy has to have an objective. And if the objective is to give you, the public, a savings, if I'm not going to achieve that, why would I do it? Why do it? So unless you can have the cooperation of business owners in the public, keep the money, government, keep it, and do a direct transfer to the citizenry. Give them the money in another way so that you can put it right in their hands and you could be assured that they got it. All you're doing is taking money out of the hands of them who paid the tax and putting it in the hands of them who can't pay the tax. But don't take the money out of the hands of them who pay the tax, middle income people and the like, even some rich people, and put it in the hands of a few business people who refused to share cost savings with the public. Don't do that. And I always know the business people can give you cost savings. Why you say that? Because what's a discount? If the price you were charging in the first place was fair, If the price you were charging in the first place was a price you had to charge because of your cost and profits and all that kind of stuff, what's the discount about? How come you can give a discount now? And I understand that's marketing and so forth and so forth. But it does reflect the fact that if you could give it, that means you could take it. Right, I prefer, and you know, Amazon has this policy. Amazon has a policy that it is going to try to keep its prices low. That's why Amazon's profitability ain't nowhere near Walmart, as an example, right? I said profitability. Their revenue is larger, but their profitability is not the same because they have a policy at this point of keeping prices low. So if you have a policy of keeping prices low, discounting me, no thing you should be selling me every day. Every day you got a discount. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alang, your host. So glad you could join us today. Listen, take care. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
Take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.